Come in.
If you haven't brought your Bibles, you'll find some on the coffee table before you. I want you to follow with me tonight in some of these scriptures that we'll be looking upon. The Lord has led me to speak to you tonight about how your pastor uses his tongue. And I prayed that the people who should hear this message would be here tonight. How your pastor uses his tongue. So turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This will be the basis for our study. If you want to take notes, there are pieces of paper on the coffee table. I think it's very important that you follow with me as we look upon this subject and how your pastor would like to see the use of tongues operate in the community church. I feel that education is very important and that we must begin in places like this in study where God can use and develop and grow. So turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The other day, I was in a home, and I'll not identify the home. I was in a family room type area, and I noticed that there was a floor plan on the floor. The people had just laid the squares of linoleum, and they were very nicely laid, and from a distance, especially if you blurred your eyes, you could see this beautiful pattern that emerged from the linoleum. But then as I happened to look very closely to the tile right beside my right foot, I noticed that the squares that they had put down did not meet at the corner. In fact, there was about a half inch off. From a distance it looked good, but when I was right there looking down, I saw that the tiles did not meet. And I got to thinking, evidently they started right, but by the time they got to me, which was probably 15 feet from where they started, the tiles were off, and the corners were not fitting as they should fit. But sure enough, as I examined it, I discovered that they had started properly, but as they were laid down, some tiles got pushed just a little bit farther and farther, and then the next one picked up where the other one laid off, and the next thing you knew, while it generally looked good, upon close inspection, they were not meeting as they should in the corner. Now, the use of tongues started off good, but down through the years, they have been pushed a little bit and pushed, and now it seems that only now in the providence of God are they beginning to emerge, which means there must be a time when we have to pick up the tiles and start over where we found an error. And when I turn to 1 Corinthians 14, I read words like this, verse 2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. In another state, in fact the state was Oklahoma and the city was Tulsa, there was a man in a Methodist church who became very upset that his pastor was speaking in tongues in the private, as he put it. And it was being brought into his church, and he got very upset about this, and so he went to the district superintendent, and he said, I want to know what I can do, what church can I go to, because this is coming into my church, and after all, this is my church, I've been in the church for many, many years. And the district superintendent said, there's no church you can go to, because it is in every church in one way or another, it's just spreading through the whole city of Tulsa. It's spreading in King City. In every church in King City, there are families who are either sympathetic to or involving themselves in the prayer language, and we call it tongues. Don't call it unknown tongues, because it is a known tongue to God, and if it's used as a sign, it is a known tongue to a person. There are two kinds of tongues we'll get into in our study. There is a devotional kind of tongue, which you use between you and God, and there is a tongue called the sign, which God uses to convict somebody for salvation, a sign to a Jew, a sign to a Gentile. So there are devotional tongues, which you, as a Christian, should use every day in your prayer life. We'll see why in a few minutes. Then there are the signs of tongues, which can be used only supernaturally, not when you want to use them, but when God supernaturally energizes you with his Spirit so that you will speak in a tongue. We use the word unknown tongue because that's what it says in verse 2. It also says this in several other verses, but it's not an unknown tongue. Does the word unknown in your Bible, verse 2, and let me find another verse. Maybe verse, help me find another word where it says unknown. Verse 27, unknown tongue. Are these words different in your Bible? Did the printer use a different type print? Which means that that word is not in the Greek manuscript. They have just put in a word which will make the reading of the scripture very easy. You can comprehend it better. Now, this is only true, basically, in the King James Version. Every time in the King James Version, which I'm using tonight, you come across a word or a phrase in italics, that means that the translators have put those words in to make the meaning clear. So when we turn to 1 Corinthians 14 and we read in verse 2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, the original reads, he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. There are many ways that a person can use their prayer language. In fact, they've been listed in many different ways, and some of you have listened to my tape on some of the ways you can use your tongue. Some overlap. Some you can turn to 1 Corinthians 14 and find 7 or 8 different ways that you can use your tongue. But basically, there are only 2 ways. One is for praise, and one is for prayer. You praise God in your tongue. You pray to God in your tongue. These are the 2 ways. If you'll turn to John 16, verse 13 and verse 14, we will read some additional words that have to do with the tongue. John 16, verse 13 and verse 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, praying in tongues is not a language that you can learn. I don't know how many of you speak in tongues. I know some of you do. You've shared it with me. I've heard you. I know others perhaps do, but I'm not sure. So I don't know who among you speak in tongues and who don't. But I know this, when asked recently, how do you learn to speak in tongues? You don't learn to speak in tongues at all. You don't learn to speak in tongues. You just open your mouth, use your vocal cords, and let God supply the words. But you don't learn to speak in tongues. One man interpreted in tongues in a public meeting, and as he was relating the story, a lady came to him and said, how did you learn to interpret tongues? Where did you go? What books did you read to interpret tongues? And he said, ma'am, I did not learn to make an interpretation of tongues. Nobody learns to make interpretation. God supernaturally gives you the interpretation. Sometimes, for example, one of you would give an utterance in a prophetic tongue. This is not a message on prophecy, but we'll bring it in right here. You give a prophecy in tongues. You do it openly. Then you must pray for an interpretation of that tongue. And if you do not have that interpretation, God will give it to somebody else. God gives the interpretation. I repeat, God gives the interpretation. Sometimes this can occur. Just say, Delene all of a sudden said, I've got a word from the Lord, and starts giving out a message in tongues. Then that means that it's got to be interpreted if she did it in public. The other evening, I felt I should speak in tongues. I had never done this before in public. I hesitated. Very reluctantly did I ever speak forth. I knew that if it was from God, somebody would come forth in tongues. I prayed for the interpretation. And in a moment, I waited for somebody to interpret. Nobody interpreted. And then God gave me the interpretation. And I spoke forth the interpretation. It's quite possible and often occurs that somebody else in the room would have the very same interpretation. Delene makes the prophecy. Okay, I interpret it. Somebody in the room also could be divinely inspired by God to hear the word that I spoke a second before I spoke it, which would really be a confirmation to you. In a sister church in our city, there was a person who heard a prophecy and did not give the interpretation, and somebody else in the church gave the interpretation, and it was the exact word that he had in his mind. So God works this way, but he gives the interpretation. You don't learn the interpretation. You don't learn how to do this. Prophecy is to be given in public only for the edification, and in fact, it has to be interpreted, and then if it's not interpreted, that would cease all prophetic utterances. The scripture says you can have 3 prophetic utterances with interpretations, and that would be the limit. And sometimes God works this way, sometimes he only works with 1 prophetic utterance, and oftentimes he doesn't work at all in prophetic utterances. Tongues are to be used to edify. We'll speak about that in a moment. But all of the gifts are to be used to edify the church. And I'll repeat, that's most important to write down in your mind. All gifts are to be used for the edification of the body of the believers, the church that has met. We've met together tonight, and we are the church right now. We are the church. We're meeting in the community church, but we are the church right now, the body of believers. Okay, so much for prophecy. Sometime we can study that in detail. But in Isaiah 28, there are some sentences that speak about a prediction of tongues. It's very clear in the scripture, very clear in the scripture, that people have spoken in tongues by the Holy Spirit. Again, going back to the laying of the tiles. At one time, it was a very common place. When people came together, this was a very common occurrence. There were some problems, and that's why Paul had to write to the Corinthian church. At one time, all the tiles were neatly placed together and formed a perfect square. But in the time, in the course of history, things have gotten pushed and slid around. As you lay a tile, if you don't let it seal itself before you step on it or put a heavy piece of furniture on it, it may slide. So that's what happened in the church. As late as the 2nd century, it was a very common experience for people to be baptized in water and speak in tongues. In fact, some of the church historians write that people became very upset if people who became saved did not speak in tongues. Now it's just the opposite. If somebody does speak in tongues after being saved, many think it's an exception. But at the beginning, when the pile of tongues was laid, it was the accepted and very clear thing. Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. With a stammering lip and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. This is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. There is a refreshing when you use your prayer language devotionally to God. In the book of Joel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It says very clearly, it will come to pass afterwards, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is what happens in the baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. God is pouring out his spirit in you when you're saved and out of you when you're baptized. You're baptized into the water. Coming out makes a baptism. You release the energizing force of God within your heart, and this is what we call tongues. So, clearly in the scripture, it is spoken about Isaiah, Joel, and then Jesus. Turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall what? Speak with other tongues. They shall speak with new tongues, depending upon the translation. In my name, they'll do these things. That's Mark 16, verse 17 and 18. If you turn to John chapter 15, you will find further words regarding the tongue. John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth that proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. When you speak with tongues, your inner person is testifying to God. Verse 13, 14, and 15 of John chapter 16. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of truth comes and guides us, and shows things unto us that we ourselves would not know. So these are just several scriptures that have to do with what happens when this Holy Spirit is released within us and we speak and use a prayer language. The tongues should be used in the church today. The tongues should be used in the community church today. Tongues are used on Wednesday nights, and tongues are used at this Vesper service. Tongues are not used, to my knowledge, at the 11 o'clock service, although we could not limit God, could we? Can we say to God, now at the 11 o'clock service, Lord, please, no prophetic utterances through tongues, because this may disturb some people. Well, it's true, everybody in the community church is not ready for tongues at the 11 o'clock service, and God knows this, and this is why God is very gentle in how he moves within the community church made up of 25 different denominations. This is why we are loving and lovable, and this is why people can come to this service if they want to participate in such a charismatic service where God can speak and indeed has spoken prophetically and in tongues, or no. So we must not say, Lord, we can't use it in the church. What would happen to this particular church, of which I will want to make reference, if the pastor had said we can have no tongue speaking? Now, I mentioned earlier that there are two kinds of tongues, devotional tongues and tongues used for a sign. At a particular church where the pastor had said we will allow tongues here because we know it's for the edifying of the church, there was a person who spoke in tongues a prophetic message, and he was speaking in Hebrew. But he himself did not know Hebrew. I'm sorry, that's another illustration I'll tell you later. He was speaking in Philippine. He knew nothing about the Philippine language, but he started speaking in the Philippine dialect. And there was somebody else who stood up and interpreted. But the unusual thing, two things, were these. One, several times in the prophetic utterance, which was in the language of the Filipino people, he said, He used the word, and he drew it out, And in the interpretation by someone at the back of the church, in English, they came forth with the same, And it wasn't really realized until the tape of the service was played back that it was just right in the right spot. Well, he couldn't have made up. It was divinely inspired of God. That was one interesting thing. The second thing was that there was somebody in the church from the Philippine Islands who had lived there many years, and when they were young, they had learned the Filipino language, but they had let it slip by because they were not related to it. And they recognized the words. And this person, who had lived in the Philippine Islands for so long, knew what the man was saying before it was translated by just an average common Joe like any one of us. So God came and used that as a prophetic utterance, but also it was used as a sign because there was somebody else there who was not a Christian, but who was from those same islands, who that evening became a Christian because God had spoken in such a way that he knew it had to be God. So God uses tongues in many, many ways. Let's turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and make a few comments that I think are very important. Chapter 14, verse 2, again, Some people say that tongues are to be used only to God, because it says in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue does what? Speaks not to men, but speaks to God. Okay, for the person who does say that, tell them to just to scan down to verse 21. And you'll read there, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will what? I speak unto the people. And yet for all they will not hear me, saith the Lord. So it is true in verse 2 of chapter 14, you speak to God, but it doesn't stop there. The quotation from Isaiah 28:11 is that God, this is in verse 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, God speaks to his people. So God speaks to his people. If 95% of our people here tonight speak in tongues, that's not good enough. Because 5% of us tonight are missing out on something that can help us. Now, when I speak in tongues, I am edified. When I first received my prayer language, I thought to myself, there's something wrong because I'm not being edified. I'm not being edified. I don't feel any different. Well, as I studied more, I realized that I didn't have to feel any different. Because when I ate my Sunday dinner a few hours ago, my body was edified, but I didn't really feel it. I was pretty strong when I sat at the table. I was pretty strong when I got up from the table. But I had to eat, and in the eating, something happened. My body was edified physically. So tongues are for our own edification, and they're very important, and it's a shame that if even 5% of our group is not using their tongues. Prayer changes our prayer life. Because we're letting the Spirit of God intercede. Turn, if you will, to the book of Romans. Romans 8, verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Now, when I pray in my tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. But it's not an unknown tongue. God knows what's being said. In verse 26, Romans 8, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But what? The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let me repeat this verse of Scripture. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. There are times when we don't know how we should pray, and that's when we ought to use our prayer language. A person comes and asks for a prayer regarding something. It's important that we pray in our flesh, but we also ought to pray in our spirit, because we don't know what's best. A person says, pray for my healing. We don't know if that's best or not. A person comes and says, please pray for this situation, that it be changed. Maybe it's not right that it be changed. Maybe God is working something out through all this. The man, I heard the illustration, had been swindled by a business partner, and he asked for a prayer from his friend. He had telephoned and said, would you please pray for me? I need help. I've lost thousands of dollars here. And as they prayed, God spoke prophetically. And in the telephone conversation, if there had been anybody listening, they would have heard, quote, unknown, unquote, tongue. And then the interpretation, don't worry about the money. Pray for the man's soul that has swindled you. And so they switched the direction of their praying to the man's soul. To make a long story short, it was in this praying for the soul that changed the man. He was saved, and it wasn't long before the man received money from his ex-business partner. But it all happened, I feel, because first of all, they had prayed in the Spirit, and God had interpreted that. 1 Corinthians again, I hope your finger's still there, chapter 14, verse 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He that prophesies edifies the church. The first part of that verse talks about edifying. We don't really know, but yet we're edified in ourselves. Sometimes, if you use your prayer language a lot, God is going to give to you a person's name, and you can pray for them in the Spirit. Sometimes you may be praying in the Spirit, not knowing what you're saying, but in earnest, and God will reveal a name to you. And then you know you're praying for that particular person. You don't know why, but you know you are. Just to give you an example, one day a housewife all of a sudden felt the urge to pray. She didn't know for whom, but she started praying in her tongue. And in the praying for the tongue, she felt she was praying for some missionaries who were being attacked by a foreign country, and they themselves were going down a river in a boat. She kept on praying in her tongue. Finally, she had a peace about it, and it all subsided. It was a period of time elapsed, and then she heard a testimony of some missionaries who were traveling down a river. They were being attacked by a foreign nation, and they were saved miraculously. They had recorded the date and the time, and the man was giving the testimony of how God had intervened and saved the whole missionary party. This lady was in the service and had remembered indelibly that it was at this day and time that it had happened, and it all coincided together. God had used her in her prayer language. So don't minimize the importance of praying as you feel led to pray by the Spirit. There's so much more we can talk about. But if it was an advantage to Paul, how much more is it an advantage to me and to you? So to answer the question that's been asked me, Pastor, how do you use your tongue? I use it for many ways, as found in 1 Corinthians 14, but basically there are two. I use it to praise God when I just run out of words, like thank you, Jesus, I love you, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and etc. Then I drop into gear my prayer language. I use it to praise God, and secondly, I use it to pray when I don't really know how I should pray. I pray with my understanding, as Paul said, but I also pray with my spirit. And so that's how your pastor uses his tongue. Again, if Paul used them to such a great effect, how much more should I use them? And every one of you, if you don't have a prayer language, you can get it by asking and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit.